wandered in darkness away. Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Jazz is spelling with joy and telling. He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down, glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, glory filled my soul. The Spirit with light from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made when as a sinner I came, took the offer of grace. He did properly say me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down, glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, glory filled my soul. The hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in the mansions of life. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings eternal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down, glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, glory filled my soul.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for voices to sing out our faith. We thank you for our fellowship of believers united as brethren through Jesus, our Messiah. Yet we know that all our voices together cannot begin to convey the wonder and glory and majesty of who you are. And we marvel that you sent Jesus to make our song complete. It's a new song in our hearts, a song of praise, a song of joy, a song of love, placed within us by your Holy Spirit. Jesus set us free to sing your praises with joy-filled hearts, with all our souls and with all our minds. Receive now, we pray, this offering of worship. These songs we sing, orchestrated by your Holy Spirit. These words we say from our hearts, we pray that we will help to increase the harvest, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, who taught us these words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last week we looked at some words from Jesus regarding prayer. just before he entered the Garden of Gethsemane to pray to his Father. Seven times in those few hours, he instructed his disciples and us to pray and ask anything in his name. Never had Jesus placed such emphasis on any promise or command. We can rest assured, obviously, that prayer pleases God, and that God answers our prayers and supplies our needs. But I have a question. It surely seems strange that we would only pray when we need something. Don't you think? Surely prayer is more than merely requesting what we need. And surely when we pray, we should not need a resolute effort to keep our thoughts fixed on the divine whom we're talking to. Rather, when we pray, it should seem somewhat difficult to stop praying because we don't want to leave the presence of our Father. How can we pray in a manner such that our prayers are more than just petitions? How do we pray like that? Maybe sometimes our prayers are ineffective and powerless because we rush unthinking into God's presence without considering his majesty and glory. Maybe before we lay our petitions before God, we should first meditate on his glory and upon his grace, both of which he supplies in abundance. When we place ourselves in his presence, we should remember that we are in communication with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God dwells immortal, in light unapproachable. All honor and power are to him forever. The Apostle Paul wrote to his young pastor, Timothy. Let us give adoration and praise to him because of his exceeding great glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The prophet Isaiah wrote, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. The whole earth is full of God's glory. Look through a telescope and you'll see an infinite universe revealing God's infinite glory. Look through a microscope, and you'll see an amazing world of unicellular animals that also reveal God's glory. You can view nature's landscape. You can feel sunshine. You can admire the colorful sky. You can walk on a mountain. You can sail the seas. The universe reveals God's glory. All you have to do is look out and you'll know God made that. The universe reveals God's glory, and Messiah Jesus reveals God's glory. It was not selfish desire that led Jesus to pray, "Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. No, that was not selfish desire on the part of Jesus. Rather, Jesus wants us to realize God's infinite trustworthiness and unlimited power, and he wants us to approach the Father. Jesus tells us his Father is our Father. He wants us to approach the Father in simple faith and trust. The prophet Isaiah heralded the coming of Messiah Jesus. He declared, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together." Isaiah 40, verse 5. We also should have God's glory in mind before we pray. Jesus taught us to pray saying, "Our Father who art in heaven." What does that tell us? It tells us to offer up words of adoration. Let God know that you sense his greatness and the power of his divine nature. Hallowed be thy name. This is important. Worship of God, adoration, and praise, and thanksgiving not only put us in the spirit of prayer, but God notices. Psalm 50, verse 23. The psalmist was speaking under revelation, the words of God. "Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God." Praise and thanksgiving not only open the gates of heaven for us to approach God, they also prepare a way for God to bless us. That's what I read from Psalm 50, verse 23. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever." Romans 11:36. God's holiness is glorious. Exodus 15, verse 11. God's work is glorious. Psalm 19, verse 1. His name is glorious. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. His power is glorious. Colossians 1, verse 11. His voice is glorious. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 30. "Everyone called by his name has been created for his glory." Isaiah 43, verse 7. Thank you. Jesus gave up his life so God's church would be presented as holy and without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Can you agree with me? Our God is an awesome God. Jesus told us how to approach the Father, Almighty God. We read it last week, part of his sevenfold invitation to pray that we read last week was from John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. I'll read it again. "You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, I have to confess, for years I struggled to comprehend what Jesus was telling us with his sevenfold invitation to pray for anything. Our charismatic brethren misuse these instructions from Jesus as proof for a health and wealth approach to Christianity. They say, "Your faith will give you anything you desire." They say, "That's what Jesus said. All you have to do is ask, and it will be done." But Jesus puts in a qualifying phrase. He says that we are to ask in his name. Asking in his name is a condition, and it's the only condition that Jesus puts upon this instruction. Obviously, then, if you ask and you do not receive, then there can only be one conclusion: you did not fulfill the condition. Six times in his sevenfold invitation to pray, Jesus repeated the condition, "In my name." Obviously, this is an important condition. What does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? The answer to this question embraces the power of prayer. Did Jesus mean that we are supposed to add the phrase, "All this we ask in the name of Jesus," at the end of our prayers? Apparently, that's what many people believe. Have you noticed that many prayers are full of self-will, selfish requests that then end up with these words, "I pray for these things in the name of Jesus"? According to Pastor James, who wrote the book of James in the New Testament, prayers like that, regardless of using the name of Jesus at the end of prayers, will not be answered. Pastor James wrote, "You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." Ending your prayer with the phrase, "In the name of Jesus," will not get your prayer answered. Similarly, omitting those words from your prayer will not keep your prayer from being answered. Our prayers should glorify our Savior and Master, Messiah Jesus. We are instructed to ask in the name of Jesus so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. John chapter 14, verse 13, the previous verse up there on the board. Our prayers should never be about obtaining wealth and success or comfort or even fruitfulness in service and spirituality if we are asking these things for our own enjoyment or advancement or popularity. Rather, we should be praying for the things we pray for, things that will advance the glory of God and His Son. And now, I have a few points to make about that phrase, "In my name." Jesus instructed us so many times. First, those who do not believe in the atoning death of Messiah Jesus cannot pray in the name of Jesus. They may use emotional words, but their prayers are meaningless. And I don't normally spell it out so bluntly, but I feel compelled every once in a while. Some so-called Christian religions do not accept Jesus as the Son of God. Yes, there are some mainstream so-called Christian organizations that do not accept Jesus as the Son of God. Christian Science, Unitarianism. They may be nice people, but they can't pray to God for forgiveness of their sins because forgiveness of sins is covered by the cross. The Bible message from cover to cover is that Jesus is the way to God. Forgiveness is through Him. It's that simple. The entire Bible, the meta story from beginning to end, is about Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus as the Savior who forgives sins, how can you pray in His name? You see, these kinds of religions stand upon a works-based system that excludes the divinity of the Son of God. For works-based religions, Jesus is just a wise man. The Bible tells us something vastly different. The message of the Bible is that the way to God is through His Son, Messiah Jesus, not through a system of religious do's and don'ts, and not through a system that popularizes good feelings. Second point. Suppose that I owe Laura $10. Okay? I'm in a hurry, and I send her $1,000 bank to bank through an electronic transfer. In my haste, I added too many zeros. I mistakenly sent $1,000. She doesn't notice it until she reviews her bank account. This is quite plausible. To the bank, the exchange was just another transaction. But Laura was only expecting $10. Now Laura has a dilemma. I sent her $1,000 in a perfectly good transaction. She could go ahead and simply accept it. But she knows me, and she knows my mind. She knows that I had meant to give her $10. And now her honor is at stake. I know Laura. I know what she would do. She'd send the extra $990 right back to me. Even if I had given her a blank check, she would have only filled it in for $10. Because she knows that's what I expected. That was my intention for her. What's the lesson? God has his particular will for each one of us. Unless we know his will, we are all likely to ask for $1,000 when God knows what's best for us. And usually that's $10. In our prayers, we are coming to a friend and a loving Father. We owe everything to him. And so he asks us to come to him whenever we have a need. After all, his resources are infinite, but he wants to fill our need. And so Jesus tells us that we should ask only for those things that are according to his will, only those things that will bring glory to his name. John said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's the way God works with us. He gives us a blank check, and he wants us to fill it in. But he knows that if we genuinely love him, we will never ask for things that he is not willing to give us. He's not going to give us things that are harmful to us. On the other hand, we should not ask for a penny when God wants to give us a dollar. Do we ask for enough? Do we dare to ask according to his riches and glory? Yes, we dare to ask, as Jesus put it, according to his will. When we go to the bank of heaven, in the name of Jesus, with a check drawn on the unsearchable riches of Christ, God expects that we will be worthy of his confidence. He expects us to seek the gift not for our own self-interest, rather for his glory. I'm moving on into point number 3. Our Heavenly Father is the great heavenly banker. It's his world, his universe. And we need to be aware of that. He won't cash our requests if our motives are not right. This is often why prayers fail. Because the name of Jesus is the revelation of God's character. To pray in the name of Jesus means praying as his representative. It means we pray according to his will, to have his approval for what we ask. It means we seek what he seeks. The old saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? It means we pray according to his will. It means we seek what he seeks. We ask him for help to do what he would do. We desire to do what God would do. Not for ourselves, but for God's glory. No other reason. When we pray in the name of Jesus, our desires are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and our wills are in harmony with what Jesus would do. That's what praying in the name of Jesus is. Jesus wants us to be so controlled by the Holy Spirit that we pray and act in his name. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. This now is the bottom line. Unless the heart is right, the prayer is wrong. It's that simple. All these verses are beginning to make sense. And there are a lot of them. On the back of the bulletin are three different verses that all express the same thought. I think I have them up here as well. John 14, verse 14. Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. In 1 John 5, 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. I finally understand it. God's will is the best way for us to live our lives. God wants the best for us. He longs to bless us and to use us as a blessing in the lives of others. When we pray in his name, we are praying according to his will, and we can surely do that. The Apostle Paul told us to let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We want to become more and more like Jesus, like that old hymn said. Oh, but to know the will of God in your life. How do we do that? It's been a while since I've given a sermon on this topic. I'm thinking about doing this. You see, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Scripture tells us the secret of the Lord will be with you if you fear him, if you respect God. The secret, God's will for your life. Don't ask God or to let you know his will if you don't intend to do what he does, what he tells you to do. Knowledge of God's will and performance of God's will should go together. What happens when you don't follow through with God's particular will for your life? Your spiritual walk with God will become calloused at a minimum. Not good. I'll say this very quickly about the will of God. Most of God's will for your life, in fact, 2/3 of God's will for your life is already found in Scripture. His instructions for life teach the proper ways for us to move forward with our lives. God's will includes some absolute commands, like the Ten Commandments, and then we can also go confidently before the throne of grace and ask for godly attributes like wisdom. As the apostle, as Pastor James wrote, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him. We're only looking for about one third of God's will for our lives. We already know most of it. And indeed, even if we don't know what to ask God, the Holy Spirit will ask for us. So our prayer should be, when we don't know what to ask, what should I do, Lord? And in due time, you will know. Because if you earnestly seek to know God's particular will for your life, you will know. And then, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to do it. It is when whatsoever we do is done in His name, then He will do whatsoever we ask in His name. That's where I'm going to end today. Let's continue this series on prayer next week as we look at other aspects of prayer that may need some answers. Amen. Hallelujah.
Are you, Lord, most holy?